think that's down the tubes now.
Oh, okay.
Because this isn't really, well, it is if you're enjoying the hot weather.
Yeah, and if you...
Bob said it was going to get warm again, but one more big snap of hot.
And boy, did he call that right.
We're going to get it here pretty quick. Yeah, okay.
Although I'm looking at the WKZO.com AccuWeather radar, and not much out there right now.
No, not today. Tomorrow is the day that was supposed to hit the rotary oscillator. So we will see about that. We'll ask him today, though. We've got to ask him today.
Yeah. Bob will be back.
Bob will be back. Yes, indeed. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZO. It's Jim. It's Roger. We've got lots of stuff to get to today. We have a couple of phone interviews, maybe three. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But busy day. Busy day after a busy weekend.
You had a busy weekend?
Yeah, sort of.
Do anything exciting?
Yeah, birthday brunch over at my mom and dad's house. That was fun.
Yeah.
For all the birthdays, all five of them that we went through on Friday. Just in case you forget.
I spent the entire weekend, except for when I came here, cleaning my basement.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it ready to party in?
Not yet, but we're having the basement walls insulated, and that requires moving everything 5 feet out from the walls.
Uh-huh.
And as it is, we had a lot of stuff within 5 feet of the walls. Our house has no attic, so the basement
is the storage facility, huh?
Correctamundo.
Uh-huh.
And after I hire a local dumpster company, I've got a bunch to go and a much emptier basement.
Oh.
But bags and bags of old insulation.
Aren't you happy it's done now, though?
I'm not done. That's what I'm complaining about, my friend.
Well, no, but I mean, but you're on your way.
Well, at least I'm 2 days closer to the end than I was before the weekend.
Uh-huh.
If you catch my drift in that.
I do. Indeed. Mm-hmm. 382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. And, of course, the snarky and smarmy texts are available via the texting line at 80373. Earlier this afternoon, the President of the United States conferred upon Army Staff Sergeant Ty Carter the highest honor a military person can get in this in this or any other area, and that is the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Okay.
It's the fifth Medal of Honor awarded to someone from the Iraq or Afghanistan. It's also the first time in almost 50 years that two living service members have been given the Medal of Honor. Awarded. Excuse me, you don't get it. You're awarded it.
Do you know what circumstances led to his award?
I don't know, but this the one really unique thing about this is, and I'll find out, because obviously we want to check it on Google, but the other person who was living to get the Medal of Honor or was awarded the Medal of Honor earlier, same battle.
Wow.
So, I'll have
and
to do
was
some checking.
It in Iraq or Afghanistan?
It was in Afghanistan, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, on behalf of Staff Sergeant Ty Carter, and I will find the name of the other Medal of Honor awardee and whatnot, I thought we would play something special for them today.
Ooh.
God like gold refined, success. Nobleness and every gain divine. And you know, when I was a little boy, I remember we always sang these words. Oh, beautiful, oh, spacious skies, oh, amber waves of grain, far purple mountains, that is dead. Up above the fruited plain.
Wait a minute.
America, America, well, God set his grace on thee, oh, yes, he did indeed, he called that up, oh, don't you remember, said his brotherhood. From sea to shining sea.
And you know, y'all can just hum a little bit longer when it's all right.
America, oh, how I love you, America. Well, my God, he not shed his grace on me. He told me would should be brotherhood come see to try to see. Oh, yeah, Jesus, I want to thank you, Lord.
Don't play it very often.
Some soul in that rendition.
Don't play it very often, but when we do, we have a good reason.
Yeah.
I really hope that I do not pronounce this this gentleman's name wrong. But the other staff sergeant, it was he's a former Army staff sergeant, Clinton. I believe it's Romisha. I believe received a Medal of Honor for the same battle on October 3rd, 2009, at Combat Outpost Keating. In the Nuristan province, nearly 300 insurgents armed with automatic weapons and RPGs surrounded the outpost. 53 Americans were stationed there. 8 were killed in the battle. 22 were wounded. 2 of them were given or awarded, the Medal of Honor. So that doesn't happen very often.
From the same battle.
From the same battle. And both of them living. That's the vast majority of those who have been awarded the Medal of Honor have been posthumously. So.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And Sergeant Carter is still in the military. Sergeant Romisha, I'm guessing, please, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, is now a civilian and lives in South Dakota. So thank you to both of you guys and everybody else who ever served.
Yeah.
Yeah,
These guys are the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
In heroic actions.
Oh boy!
Lots of them do not get acknowledged.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Okay, on with the show.
Ask you a question.
Okay,
if states knew that this was coming, what took them so long? Michigan included. Okay, October 1st is the scheduled launch date for the Affordable Health Care Act, or Obamacare, as you most may know it, for the health care laws insurance marketplaces. Those are the sites online where uninsured people will be able to go, shop for their coverage, sometimes using a government subsidy to purchase a plan. okay?
Yes.
7 million people are expected to use these portables.
Mm-hmm.
According to Matt Salo, who's the executive director of the National Association of Medicaid Directors, there's, quote, a certain level of panic about how much needs to be accomplished. Could you please explain to me what you've been waiting for? Why? Why have you been waiting? Why? You know who's coming down the line. Oregon's going to delay theirs, direct access to the consumers, for a month. California, they've been hinting they're going to have some serious problems. District of Columbia has decided to put off building a Spanish version of it to give it the bandwidth to complete other tasks they see more critical. There's going to be a shakeout cruise on this thing. Hey, you knew it was coming. Why couldn't you have done a beta test? Was everybody just waiting to see if I don't know, Raj. I'm dumbfounded, I guess, is with the limits of technology that we have right now.
I think we have a combination of, and I missed some of your.
Well, it's just there's a lot of stuff that is. They're talking about glitches and haywire and having to shake out crews.
Yeah.
Why weren't they doing this way before?
Well, some of it is you have to tax the system with lots of data coming in and lots of people using to actually test it, to debug it. And so just developing sophisticated integrated software is a difficult challenge.
Yeah.
But in this case, we actually had people running governments who were opposed to the bill and were deliberately stalling and trying to keep the bill from going into effect. The fact that the Michigan Senate still has not done anything.
Tomorrow they're supposed to vote on one of them.
Yeah, but I'll believe it when I see it. But some of the problem is just in the magnitude of this undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is we have a political party, the majority of which are opposed to Obamacare and are trying to make it fail.
Well, it may fail on its own. Seriously. I mean, this is...
Some of the states that have rolled out their systems, and some states are way ahead of Michigan, mm-hmm. but that's the plan. And we're seeing cost savings of 50%. So there may be some technical glitches that need to be addressed. There were in Medicare. There were in Social Security. And this is likely to need some tweaking.
Yeah.
But we could have been in a lot better place if we didn't have a political party whose only mission is obstruction.
Well, we'll see how obstructive they get tomorrow. But Doonesbury said there's still a few bugs in the system. There's still a few bugs in the system.
Yeah.
Speaking of bugs in the system.
Yes.
There are those who believe that Enbridge's motto is a bugs in the system.
Ah.
We're going to talk with someone. I don't know if she'd actually refer to them as bugs, but I think there's some concern. We're going to talk about the Keystone Pipeline.
Oh.
Next with Beth Wallace from the Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor for National Wildlife Federation about Keystone.
Cool.
Coming up next, it is the Trifecta. 590 WKZO. It is the Trifecta. It's Roger and Jim, and we'd like at this time to bring in Beth Wallace, who is the Community Outreach Regional Coordinator, Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor for the National Wildlife Federation. President Obama says he's going to make a final decision on Keystone XL, maybe as early as October. And Beth, even though the pipeline's not going to run through Michigan, there's a lot at stake for Michigan in this, isn't there?
Oh, sure, definitely. And first, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the program. I listen to it regularly, as I'm actually from that area nearby.
Oh, so you're the one who's listening.
Yeah. We wondered who our listener was.
We wondered who it was.
But yes, this particular pipeline and the Ambridge pipelines will have tremendous impact on the Midwest, in particular Michigan. And so we just want to kind of lay out some of the facts which have been misrepresented over the last few years while this debate continues. And it continues in large part because of the spill we actually had in Michigan 3 years ago, which is still being cleaned up by Enbridge, the spill that resulted in around 800,000 barrels going into the Kalamazoo River.
Yeah, we know that very well.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
How much pressure is TransCanada putting on the United States to get this done?
Oh, tremendous. It is, it's largely an export avenue or game with that industry is playing, where they are really trying to get large amounts of tar sands derived oil to export either through the Gulf, and then Enbridge is also trying to push it all the way east for export through the Portland-Montreal pipeline.
Beth, do you know a little bit about, does it take more pressure to get tar sands through a pipeline as opposed to, shall we say, sweet crude oil?
The pressures for tar sands pipelines do tend to be higher than the conventional crudes, and that is because of the thicker component of the product. So, yes, that is true. And Enbridge Line 6B that ruptured had the diluted bitumen, which is the raw tar sands with the mixture of condensates. Keystone XL will have the same product. And then Enbridge is expanding many lines within the Midwest, which will largely be diverted to the diluted bitumen or tar sands. Both are the same as far as how we talk about them in the media.
Beth, we learned from the spill into the Kalamazoo River that we have really no idea we don't know how to clean up any oil spill, as we saw in the Gulf of Mexico. But tar sand spills are a whole different matter, and it's clear that we don't know how to deal with that.
Yes, that is completely true. And the latest work order from Enbridge, the EPA is evidence of that. And that's the big thing that we advocate, is there should be a focus on tar sands pipeline safety versus a race to expand and build a new tar sands pipeline.
Well, that's my question, is how can we sanely proceed when 3 years after the spill, we're still inventing approaches to try to get the oil out of the river? How can we build a pipeline right down through the heartland over the Ogallala Aquifer and not have any ability to clean it up when there is the inevitable spill?
That's exactly the question that we're posing. In addition, the climate impacts, we're not only seeing huge climate impacts because of the mining of tar sands in Alberta, but now in the Detroit River, we have huge petcoke piles, which are also being burned. So there's just a huge whammy that's happening in the U.S. And as I mentioned earlier, the goal for a lot of these projects is to export this oil. And so on top of all of that, the bigger concern is that we will also see an additional rise in gas prices, because the oversupply of oil that we actually have in the Midwest from tar sands will be diverted to overseas.
Speaking of oil in the Midwest, I was personally unaware of the pipelines under the straits at the Mackinac Bridge until there was a rally held earlier in the summer. Mm-hmm. How safe is that? When was that pipeline last inspected? And what's the odds of Enbridge getting approval to raise the pressure so they can have greater throughput on that 50-year-old pipeline?
It's actually 60 years old.
Okay, I underestimated.
Yes, and I actually have some pretty disturbing news. It has been expanded. It was expanded with little to no permitting. There were some very basic permits they had to get at the state level, and they had to prove to PHMSA through some hydro testing of the line that they could run at the increased capacity. But the alarming news is that hydro testing that proved to PHMSA, which is the regulatory agency that oversees pipeline operations, that hydro testing was only done on very small pieces of the line, two very small pieces of the line, and did not inspect the crossings at the straits. And again, this is a six-year-old pipeline. To increase the pressure on a six-year-old pipeline is just insane. And this is a tar sands pipeline. It does carry tar sands crude that has gone through a slight upgrading process, so they can call it light sour, but it is tar sands derived. And if there were a spill, there would be a significant amount of oil that would not be recoverable, similar to Kalamazoo River.
Beth, would that oil, like we found in the Kalamazoo River, would it likely sink into the straits? You called it, there was a term for it. This
diluted bitumen?
Yeah.
Yeah, call it tar sands. It's fine. It would. It would most definitely. And the reason why the sinking occurred is because the components in the oil cling to just about anything in the water. And so if there's any kind of sediment in the water or any kind of mixing, which there is because there's heavy currents at the Straits of Mackinac, it will definitely cling on to anything. It'll sink. It'll spread quickly. And if it's cold, that's a huge issue as well, because it'll stay low and not come to the surface.
Well, fortunately, it never gets cold in Michigan, so
right.
We don't have to worry about that.
Right. So there's just huge concerns. And in fact, I was on a panel with Enbridge and API this past weekend about this very pipeline. And I can say safely that they did not make me feel any better about the situation.
I'm disappointed they didn't.
Does the fact that 29 out of 50 state attorneys general not agreeing to the letter about and supporting the pipeline, is that going to, you think, will that play any kind of role into the president's decision?
I certainly hope so. And, you know, there's all kinds of evidence piling up saying that it's just not the direction we need to be heading in. Again, we should 100% be focusing on pipeline safety through and through. And that's all sectors of pipeline safety. But when it comes to tar sands, that should be one of the main focuses we have on, because of the large amount of projects happening. And there should not be a fast track to these kind of, and that includes the Enbridge pipelines. That also includes fast-tracking Line 6B, Line 5, Alberta Clipper Pipeline that's happening in Minnesota. There's so many things happening at once. We need to slow down, look at the regulations, apply the lessons learned from the Kalamazoo River spill, and do things correctly. And in fact, just this last week, a report came out that actually said that Enbridge has not improved critical operation that'll prevent a failure similar to Marshall.
We're talking to Beth Marshall from the Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor for National Wildlife Federation. Beth, before we let you go, apparently there are a couple of words that are four-letter words as far as the attorneys general and maybe possibly the administration. That's climate change. They don't like talking about climate change, do they?
No, I think that has changed. I think that there's new direction, and I think that they're taking steps that they need to take in order to move us all in a very sustainable and positive change in the way that we consume energy.
Beth, if people want to get more information from you or from Jeffrey Insko, who lives along the pipeline in Grovetown Township, he was also mentioned as he writes the Line 6B Citizens blog. If people want more information or want to get involved, how do they get a hold of you?
They can reach me at our regional center, which is the Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor of the National Wildlife Federation. Jeff's blog is the Line 6B Citizens blog. He has all of the contacts on there. It's a great resource if you want to learn about the current operations happening within the state.
Beth Wallace is a community outreach regional coordinator, Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor for the National Wildlife Federation. We would love to have you on the show again as the deadline approaches for the president, and then possibly after the president makes the decision as to where you go from there.
Yeah, great. Get Upton on, too. I'd love to speak with him.
Okay.
Great.
We'll see if we can get the chairman of the powerful House Energy and Commerce Committee on at the same time. Beth, thank you so much for taking time out today. We appreciate it very much. Again, Beth Wallace from the Great Lakes Regional Center in Ann Arbor. This is going to take on a life of its own, relatively. I mean, it's been a major issue, but now it's really going to start, if you'll pardon the phrase, picking up a little energy.
Well, it should. And if people in our part of the world don't understand why we shouldn't do this, who will? I mean, we're the ones who see what happens when you dump this stuff in a river.
Yeah,
imagine this stuff being dumped into the Straits of Mackinac. Yeah.
Do you know that it could be unchristian life to feed homeless people?
Really?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that next. CBS News and local news next. It is the trifecta. 590 WKZL. It is the trifecta. Jim, Roger.
And Bob.
And Bob is back. But before we let you know that, part of the show brought to you by Bronson, the first hospital in the region to offer a new life-saving heart surgery. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com/TAVR. Hi, Bob.
Hi there, Jim. Roger.
Hey,
you have a good vacation?
Yeah.
I did. Thank you.
Did you really have to bring the hot weather back with you?
You noticed that.
I did, and I have a message from Jay. He said to pass this along. Okay, so...
Somehow I figured that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the way he is. I swear that boy's got just tropical blood or something. I don't know what it is. I don't mind the 85, Bob. It's the dew point that I'm a little upset about.
Dew point right now, 69.
Okay.
That's high.
Yeah. This is from me. Okay, thank you. Good. I know it's a little uncomfortable. Now, we did talk about this, though. We were going to have one more good shot of hot weather. And what better weekend to have it than the last unofficial weekend of summer?
Correct. In fact, it looks to be very, very warm, if not flat out hot, pretty much this entire week. It may not hold all the way through the 3-day holiday weekend, but it's certainly going to hold the next several days. So that leads to today's word.
Which is?
The word is dew.
Really?
I don't mean dew that forms on the grass in the early morning. I mean dew in the sense that we were due for this.
Okay.
When a very good baseball hitter gets into a slump where he's 0 for 17, it comes up, what do you say?
He's due.
And we've had a very cool month of August, and actually a good part of July was not exactly cool, but it certainly wasn't hot. So we've gone a long time through the summer, through the heart of summer, without a heat wave since that one that came in right after the 4th of July. So we were due for this, no doubt about it.
Would this amount of hot weather make the needle move as far as the average temperature? For the month, anyway?
Yeah, it's certainly going to. We haven't had a Geek Friday in a while, one or two in a row, but we'll take a look at that by this Friday. It should be very interesting. But as of now, we're still about 3 degrees cooler than average for the month, but 4 days from now, we'll see. It's going to take a big chunk out of that.
All right. Well, oh, by the way, thank you for letting Danielle do a couple of days with us.
It was nice meeting her.
Yeah, it was.
And yeah, how did that go?
She's not scared away unless she came to you and said, don't ever make me do that again.
Maybe she, I was wondering if she was scared away because she's not here now. Actually, she's on vacation this week. So.
Well, maybe we made her take a vacation.
I doubt.
Hey, what? Bob, before we let you go, Farmer's Almanac came out with their prediction for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ugly. I'm not a big believer in long-term weather forecasts.
Right.
Does that pass any kind of pattern reasonableness test? Or is it just way too early to have any idea what this winter is going to look like?
It's not too early. You start to get the idea of trends and whatnot. And one of the things you look for, I can't speak for the Farmer's Almanac in terms of how that's put together, because I know a lot goes into it. And I'm not going to be quick to just brush it aside and say that it's nonsense, because a lot goes into that. But as a general sense, when you're making a seasonal forecast, particularly if that season is the cold weather season, you look to see the state of the what is known as the ENSO. The state of the ENSO is the basically what that means is it El Nino, is it La Nina, or is it neutral? And if you can get that nailed down, El Nino winters have very distinct type characteristics across the area. La Nina winters have very distinct characteristics, and when it's neutral, it's kind of up for grabs. And we seem to be going into a neutral phase right now, so it leaves it up for grabs. So you look at other factors. And factors that I haven't really looked at just yet. So I'm not ready to make a prediction for the winter season, but it can be done. Because sometimes right from the get-go in August, you know that this is going to be, for example, an El Nino winter. So you would know that it would be very rainy in California, relatively mild across the northern tier states, but potentially snowy. And when it's a La Nina, like we had 2 winters ago, often or not, it's mild and dry. Remember 2 winters ago, how incredibly warm it was. So This year it's kind of neutral, so we have to look at other factors.
We'll be talking about this in the future, I'm certain.
We sure will.
Before we let you go, Bob, though,
yeah.
Tomorrow we're supposed to have rather strong thunderstorms. Now, are these front-generated, or is this instability
there
generated?
There actually is a front. There is a front that's coming through, and the greatest risk of that is probably tomorrow evening. And as a matter of fact, we're not out of the woods tonight. First batch of storms stayed to our north. Additional shower storm activity could move in here from the north after 9, 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
And it could be scattered stuff tomorrow, but I think the best chance of any strong storms comes tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening. And it looks like it is thunderstorm-free on Wednesday, maybe a couple of ticks less humid and warm, and then it heats up and turns muggy again by the end of the week.
Thanks.
We're going to get a 90 out of this before this week is over.
Are we going to get a 90 out of it?
Could be tomorrow. If not tomorrow, I think again Friday and Saturday.
We had a 90 last week while you were on vacation, at least here.
Right.
But we all know our thermometer.
Airport never got above 86.
It's 85 now. What is it at the airport?
It is 82.
All right. Hey, that's not bad.
Very close.
Very close. Well, welcome back, Bob. It's nice to have you back.
Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, before we go anywhere, I had this text earlier, and I wanted to make mention of it. One of our texters, Chris, who is an OIF vet, said, trust me, we really appreciate the support back home. Chris, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. From at least one vet, and Roger, of course, does the same.
OIF?
It's Operation Something Force, and I think it's a Iraqi force, maybe.
Oh, okay.
The Iraqi war, I believe. And forgive me for not knowing, but Chris, thank you for your service. We appreciate it very much, and always will. And anytime I see somebody, like yesterday, I was at a gas station, and a guy was getting gas, but I had a bumper sticker and said, parent of a U.S. Marine. And I went over and said, thank you. You know, it's...
The other day, this is several months ago, we were at Pizza Hut, and my wife and I, and she picked up the tab of the couple sitting with their child, and he was in military uniform.
Oh, very nice.
And Nancy bought him a pizza.
Is that rubbing off on you at all? No?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You are a pretty nice guy.
Well, and I have a lot of respect for...
No, I know you do.
The grunts, the people who actually go off to fight the wars.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I've noted that, too. You know, there is a war on poverty in this country, right?
You think?
Well, I think there's...
One of the ways we're waging it is taking away their right to vote in North Carolina.
Well, let's go back to North Carolina. What do you think, Dave, if it's not that, you know, the battleground for that now? Shift to Raleigh, North Carolina, where apparently, according to the story that Roger found, it's illegal to feed the homeless.
And Love Wins Ministries, a Christian organization based in Raleigh that has shuttled hot coffee and 100 breakfast sandwiches to the needy through downtown, has been informed that that is now, quote, criminal activity.
And say what?
Criminal activity.
Really now?
Yes. And that feeding poor people is against the law. And I just have this recollection of a loaf of bread that fed many. And apparently in Raleigh, they snapped their What Would Jesus Do wristband. And the answer that came back was, stop feeding poor people.
Well, there was the Raleigh Police Department, for their part, says, quote, people were simply informed the ordinance prohibits the kind of actions some groups have been engaged in the park. Since the soup kitchens in Raleigh aren't open on the weekends, LWM was feeding people on the weekends to make sure that, you know, somebody got a meal. But they were forced to pay. And then they were told a permit would cost them $1,600 every weekend for use of the park. But then the officer said, don't worry about it. We probably refuse it anyway. Now, the mayor, I believe, is backpedaling here. Nancy McFarland, she's the mayor, said, quote, using quoting fingers, I'm sorry for the confrontation or whatever happened yesterday. Okay. But I think the outcome is going to be good. Really now. Apparently it was another group, Raj. Did you see this? Foods Not Bombs?
Yeah.
And this is in Orlando. Arrested. The three members of that group were passing out food to the homeless in a public park. An 82-year-old Hartford man who distributed free haircuts for the homeless in a local park was ordered to stop because he didn't have a license after the media firestorm. Yeah, media firestorm were a couple of words that I guess I would attach to this. What I'm wondering is if they've been doing this for a while, if LWM has been doing this for a while. Why for the last 6 years have they not? I guess why all of a sudden did the Raleigh Police Department decide that? Did someone complain? Did someone come forward and say, you guys can't do that? That's wrong. You got no, enforce the ordinance. Enforce the ordinance. Come on. What's the matter with you?
I see this as a civil liberties issue. This is government interfering with people working within their religion. Christianity talks about helping the poor. That's who Jesus focused on, if I recall my catechism classes correctly. And being a Christian is a part of that is taking care of the unfortunate, the people who don't have food, that sort of thing. And this is the government interfering with their ability to live within what their religion requires of them.
But my question is, excuse me, if they haven't done it for the last 6 years, why are they enforcing it now? Something had to trigger enforcement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something had to trigger this enforcement, whether it was a complaint by somebody or suddenly somebody got a wild hair someplace at the Raleigh Police Department and said, you know what, we got to start enforcing this.
Well, this goes back to what we've been talking about several times over the past couple of weeks. Hawaii giving homeless people a one-way airline ticket. Yeah. And what city was it?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Was putting people on buses with a one-way ticket.
Oh, no. That was someplace else. Columbia was the place that they were going to arrest the homeless.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was going to mobilize.
Oh yeah,
and they had
a place
for 240 beds, and that was it. And there's like 1,500 people. So if you do the math, that's to 1,260.
But there was
was in Memphis.
I don't recall now.
Maybe.
But we're seeing this happen all over the country. We're trying to cut food stamps to make more hungry people in this country. And then we want to interfere even with religious liberty that requires people to care for the poor.
Well, I guess if it's an ordinance is an ordinance, okay? But if you haven't been enforcing it for 6 years, why are you doing it now?
Well, and why do you have an ordinance preventing feeding poor people?
I have a feeling that that ordinance is going to go bye-bye. Remember media firestorm?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check on Columbia and see if anybody followed my idea and got arrested down there.
Oh.
So it is the trifecta, 590 WKZL. 590 WKZO is the trifecta brought to you in part by Bronson, rated best in the region for cardiac surgery by Health Grades. Learn more at bronsonhealthandvascular.com. Roger, before we go to break, you remember the drive-in theaters?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and you know, there was a little whoopee that went on, you know, in the dark and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
It was a passion pit. So
really?
Yeah, didn't you know that?
Uh-uh.
Well, the Swiss are taking it to a whole new level.
What are the Swiss doing?
In an attempt to reduce open street prostitution and improve security for sex workers, because apparently it's legal, CNN is reporting that Zurich, Switzerland's largest city, is opening sex drive-ins today. Yeah. It's a 9 garage-style structures equipped with alarm buttons guarded by security personnel to ensure the safety of the prostitutes. Customers are not allowed to leave the area with the sex workers. It costs 2.4 Swiss francs or $2.6 million to build. According to the Social Services
That's
Department
of Missouri. That's a pretty expensive brothel.
Yeah, it is. Using the quoting fingers, the project is extremely controversial. Prostitution is about morals and religion, but we leave these things aside and see it as a business.
Well, so does Nevada.
Well, yeah. Well, certain parts of Nevada, not Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There's other parts of, you know, but...
Yeah, there's no prostitution in
the humanitarian
Las Vegas.
Aspect. This is no, of course not. No. The humanitarian aspect is more important to us.
Huh. 30 to 40 women will be working at the site each night.
It's a job creation.
Yeah.
Thing. Okay.
They'll pay a 5% francs per night
yeah.
for the use of their sex boxes.
And they, but people who, men who go in, women who go in, whatever, don't have to pay an entrance fee.
And a gynecologist stops by once a week to, well, check out the women.
That happens. They usually have a health card.
Yeah.
When Germany it was legal. Now, you know, as military personnel, we were not allowed to partake of that, but... You know.
Oh, and I'm certain it never happened.
Oh, never happened. No. The road between where I was and Kaiserslautern was called 40 Mark Strasse for a reason. All right, we're going to talk with Gene Clem from the Michigan Tea Party Movement coming up after the top of the hour. CBS Local News next. It is the Trifecta on 590 WKZL.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.